Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the Woman to Woman Show. It is the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and being glad in it. God is good, and truly He is worthy to be praised. Well, we have a powerful show lined up for you on today. I have some guests that will be calling in, and we're going to be talking about forgiveness on today. So I encourage you to let somebody know that the Woman to Woman Show, the Pastor Rebecca Simmons, is on the air, and they can come to the show. They just have to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/power, and they can actually come and be a part of the show. They can actually be a part of the studio audience, or you can call in and let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard on the Woman to Woman Show today. I tell you, we're going to be talking about forgiveness and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I'll be right back. I want you to go and let somebody know. Even as I open up the chat room, I want you to know that the chat room is open. So you can come into the chat room and communicate that way, or you can call in to 646-652-4832 and let your voice be heard. I feel like celebrating today. Amen. Let's praise the Lord because He is good and worthy to be praised. And I'll be right back right after this song.
We worship you,
we worship you, oh Lord.
Lord. You can praise the Lord every day of the week. I tell you, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the Woman to Woman show. We're going to be talking about relationships and forgiveness on today, so I encourage you to call in and let your voice be heard. Call in to 646-652-4832 and let your voice be heard on this topic. You know, so many times we go through things in life and we get hurt and we hold the grudge, we get angry and we get bitter and resentment begins to build up and we find ourselves holding a grudge against somebody and, you know, before you know it, years have gone by and you're still holding a grudge against that person, even though you may have not, you may have discontinued your relationship with that person, you're still holding a grudge. And I'm telling you today that that grudge can hurt you. That grudge can do some damage to you. You're holding on to anger. You're holding on to unforgiveness. You're holding on to resentment. You're holding on to bitterness. And guess what? You're holding on to some pain. You are holding on to some pain because when you hold that grudge against somebody, you are really holding yourself hostage. You're holding yourself in bondage to the pain that they caused you to create that grudge, to create that bitterness. So we need to let it go. We need to just let it go, let it go, let it go. Don't hold on to it any longer. It's hurting you. It's hurting you more than it's hurting the person that you're holding the grudge against. I want to encourage you on today to forgive. And I want to talk about forgiveness again. This whole month, we're going to be talking about relationships. This is February, and so many people in the month of February think about love. They think about Valentine's Day, and, you know, people are focusing on love, flowers and candy, and some people are focusing on anger and unforgiveness this month because they're thinking about the love that didn't go right. They're thinking about the love that went wrong. So today, I want to encourage you, even if there is a love that went wrong in your life, even if you're angry with someone, I want to encourage you today that you can get beyond that. You don't have to stay stuck right there. Listen, God has somebody for you. If you've been mistreated, if you've been jilted, if you've been cheated on and lied to, if you have had some problems in your relationships in the past, then guess what? I have good news for you. There is a love lined up just for you. And listen, there's no greater love than the love that we get from God. Amen. So I want to encourage you that, listen, your happiness, your joy does not have to be wrapped up in a man. Woman of God, does not have to be wrapped up in whether or not you have a man in your life, a man in your bed. Your happiness does not have to rely on another individual, whether or not they love you, whether or not they think you're beautiful, whether they validate you. Your happiness, your joy, let your joy come from the Lord. Because look, when your joy comes from the Lord, you truly can declare this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Somebody say amen, hallelujah. Listen, God so loved you. He loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to die for you so that when you believed on him, when you confessed and believed and put your trust in him, you would have life everlasting. And that's not just life where you're going to heaven, but that's life, Zoe, the blessed life right here on earth. Eternity began the moment that you received Jesus Christ into your life. Eternity with God began the moment that you received Jesus Christ into your life. So I'm telling you, you don't have to spend your time mad at anybody. I want to help you on today, and we have some special guests calling in. Apostle Vasak Luster is going to be calling in today. She's written several books on this topic, and she's going to call in and help me out with this topic on today. So I'm really looking forward to her coming. Let us pray.
Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name on today. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Lord, we just thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Lord, for making sure that we were in our right mind, that we have clarity of mind. Thank you, Lord, for the roof over our heads and food on our tables on today. Thank you for running water on today, oh God, and electricity, oh God. Lord, we just thank you, hallelujah, for peace and joy. And Lord, we thank you for love on today, that you loved us so much that you gave your only son to die for us so that we could have life. Lord, we just love you on today. We thank you for this broadcast on today. I thank you, Lord, for my special friend who's tuned in, Roz Mitchell, oh God. I thank you for her life, oh God. Even now, Father God, I just ask that you would give her a special blessing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Kathy and Ray Jones, and Father God, for all who are tuning in on today, the guests in the chat room, and Lord, all who have tuned in on today, Father God, to listen to this show on today about forgiveness. I just ask that you would bless them indeed, bless them in a special way, oh God. Meet them right where they are, oh God. Thank you for meeting every need. Thank you for supernatural, exponential release of blessings on today, oh God. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, to ask that you would be in our presence even as we go forward. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, every time I pray, I praise God because I know he hears my prayer. Some people say, well, why don't she say amen, hallelujah? Because, you know, I'm saying amen, it is done, and I agree with what I just prayed. And I'm saying hallelujah. God, I'm praising you in advance for answered prayer. Amen. We got to learn how to praise God anyhow. We got to learn how to praise God when times are good, and we have to learn how to praise God when times are bad. Amen. Or when they look bad, because Romans 8:28 says, and we know, we are confident that all things work together for the good of those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. Amen. Come on, somebody. Don't you know that even a bad situation is a good situation as long as God is in the middle of that situation? Amen. We don't have to look at our problems or look at affliction in the same way that the world looks at problems and afflictions, because we have Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in this world, you will have some problems. You will have some trouble. You will have some tribulations in this world. You're going to have some problems. But he said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Listen, listen, listen. You're more than a conqueror with Christ Jesus. You're not just an overcomer, but you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And no weapon formed against you can prosper. Listen, listen. Take that word and own it. Take God at his word. Look. Look, own the word of God. Don't just be a Christian. Don't just be somebody sitting up in the pew. Get you some power. Put on your power on a daily basis and begin to walk in power, knowing that greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that is in the world. Look, the world can't do you no harm. My God, I know it's hard sometimes and you get discouraged, but be encouraged on today, because God has a better plan for you than the plan of the devil. The devil has a plan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, I have come. Jesus said it. Come on. What did Jesus say? He said, I have come so that you might have life. Zoe, the blessed life, life more abundantly. Come on. You got to possess your possessions. It's time to possess your possessions, woman of God. It's time for you to walk in victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor said I was a bit low. Adjust my mic. Okay. I pray that that is better. Hallelujah. God bless you, Pastor Sydney McKenzie. God bless you and welcome to the Woman to Woman show. I don't know, did that go up any? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God for people checking and doing sound checks. Amen. Because we definitely want to make sure that God is heard on this morning as he speaks to the people that call in. Amen. Amen. But you got to go ahead and possess your possessions. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, we got to train our minds and our mouths to line up with the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to train our minds and our mouths to line up with the Word of God. Amen. We have to train our words and our mouths to line up with the Word of God. You know, we know we know what the world says, and we know what our circumstances say, but what does God say? Amen. What has God said about your circumstances? And let me tell you about unforgiveness. You know, the thing about unforgiveness is that the devil wants you to believe that you are justified in holding on to that anger. But see, that's a lie from the devil. He wants you to stay angry. He wants you to hold a grudge. He wants you to keep your heart hard so that the anointing of God cannot flow and operate through you. So we have to understand that as long as you are messed up and angry, you cannot utilize the power of God in your life. And that same thing, that same anger will become a stumbling block each and every time. So when you want to release the power for healing, when you want to release the power for prosperity, when you want to release the power for Zoe, for the blessed life, you will find yourself getting tripped up each and every time because you have a stumbling block that's set up in your heart that you have allowed to take residence there, and that stumbling block is anger. That's why you got to release the anger. And I came today, and I have some people calling in on today, and we're going to help you to release that anger. You might say, well, how do I get over the fact that I've been molested? How do I get over the fact that I've been abused? How do I get over the fact that I've been taken advantage of? Well, you got to release it. You got to release yourself. Woman, thou art loose. Be healed from thine infirmity, Jesus told the woman in the synagogue. She was bent over by a devil, y'all. The devil had her crippled. Amen. The devil had her bent over, and she could in no wise stand up. She could not lift herself up. And Jesus came into the synagogue. He was teaching, and he looked and saw the woman. I can imagine her sitting in the synagogue. And he said, woman, come here. Come here. And when the woman came to him, he said, you know what, woman, thou art loose. He laid his hands on her and said, thou art loose. Be healed from thine infirmity. And how many of you know that unforgiveness sets itself up as an infirmity? Unforgiveness cripples you. Unforgiveness does not allow you to move forward in power. So that's what we're talking about. Women, thou art loose. You are loosed. You are loose from that thing that happened so long ago. You are loose from the molestation. You are loose from the rejection. You are loose from the adultery that somebody committed against you. Woman, thou art loose. Be free from your infirmity. This thing doesn't have to cripple you any longer. Some of you are sick in your body because you haven't forgiven. Sickness has come to take up residence around that bitter root that you have in your heart. And as soon as you make up your mind to forgive, you will be able to release the power for healing in your life. I know I'm talking right. So you have to forgive. Amen. You have to forgive and just let it go. Let it go. So I'm going to begin to take your calls. You can call in to 646-652-4832. Raise your hand, press 1 if you want to be on the air, and I'll put you on the air so that you can be a part of this powerful broadcast on today. And I want to invite you over to New Creation Christian Ministries. Listen, we're walking in power. We have declared, the Lord has declared that this is the year of divine manifestation and supernatural release. Listen, we are going to see God's glory this year. God's glory is going to be revealed in our house and in many of the churches that are his house around the globe. God's glory is going to be revealed this year. And listen, God, Jesus said, I will manifest myself to you. Listen, when God's glory is revealed, it loses everything. It loses up your membership. It loses up the money. It loses up the ministry so that the ministry can be more effective. It loses up everything that the devil thought he had held up, everything that's been held up in your life. This is the year for divine manifestation and supernatural release. In other words, not only does the devil have to take his hands off your stuff, but God is getting ready to release some things in your life that you have been praying for, that you have been asking for, that you have been waiting for. There's a supernatural release that's taking place in the earth realm, amen, coming from the heavenly realm that God is releasing for this year, 2012. And he's not going to release it all at once, but God's going to allow you to see it month by month, day by day. God's going to allow you to see his hand in your life. He's going to allow you to see his hand in your situation. This is the year when God is going to show up and show out in your life, in your ministry, in your church, in your situation. So get ready, especially in his church, especially for you pastors out there and you fivefold ministry gifts who are really working and laboring in the church. God says, especially in my church, I'm going to show up and show out. And even not only just pastors and ministers, but God says, his church, those of you who have committed yourselves to be the church, those are the ones that this word is for. God is getting ready to bless you and bless you in a mighty way. Amen. Amen. So call in and we can talk about this thing called forgiveness in our relationships. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is the King James Version. I'm going to read that chapter while I wait for you to call in. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. So Paul here is talking about love. And he's saying that if you don't have love, you have no power. You have no anointing. He said you can prophesy. You can have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. He says all of that. He said, but if you don't have love, you're just like a sounding brass. You're making noise, but you're not saying nothing. You know, how are you going to preach the gospel and you have no love? How are you going to lead worship and you have no love? How are you going to lay hands on the sick and have them be healed, and you have no love? And the Bible is clearly saying that you can't do it. Your anointing is blocked up if love is not flowing through your heart. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, then you are not walking in love. See, walking in love means that you forgive those who have hurt you. God bless you to all of you who are on the phone lines. God bless you to all of you in the chat room. I see Coach Lalisa, and God bless you, Pastor McKenzie, our guests, and to everybody who's on the phone lines, Sister Erica, God bless you, Sister Rosalind Mitchell, God bless you to everybody who's here. And again, you can feel free to call in. Please do call in. And if you're already on the board and you want to be on the air, just press 1, and I'll know that you want to be on the air, and I'll put you on the air. But today we're talking about forgiveness, and we're talking about the power of forgiveness, and we're also talking about how the devil uses unforgiveness to make you ineffective for the kingdom of God. Listen, as women of God, we go through a lot. Even in ministry, not even so much in our relationships, but even in ministry, when we're moving forward, going out, doing what God has called us to do, we come up against a lot of opposition. It's amazing how when we step forth as women, that we come up against more opposition than men do. You know, because they will tell us quickly that we're not supposed to pastor, we're not supposed to preach, that women are supposed to shut up and be quiet in the church. And anybody who uses that particular text that Paul wrote to justify their belief that women should not preach really needs to go back and study out the text. Get you a concordance. Get you some commentaries. Go back and study the history of the day and realize what was really going on, that God uses women just as much or even more sometimes than he uses men, because women, I got to say, we get a greater anointing. We get a greater anointing because we have to resist the opposition. You know, We sometimes have to stand up and preach when nobody really wants to hear what we're saying, when we've already had to come into a room and be looked over from head to toe. You know, people looking at us and sizing us up. I don't know about you, but I've been sized up. I know what it's like to have somebody look at me and count me out because of my appearance. You know, I'm a beautiful woman. I carry myself in such a way. I know I'm royalty. I carry myself like royalty, and there are times when I come in and people look at me because I don't look churchified. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I don't look like I've spent my whole life in church, and I haven't. You know, I've been out there. I know what it's like to be drunk. I know what it's like to be on drugs. I know what it's like to go from relationship to relationship. So, no, I don't look and sound like a lot of the clergy out there, but that does not disqualify me. Come on. God didn't make us. Let me tell you this, woman of God. Let me just say this. Let God use you for who he created you to be. God did not create you to be a cookie-cutter copycat. Amen. He didn't create you to try to be like somebody else. He didn't create you to try to sound like somebody else. God created you to sound and look like him. We got to sound and look like Jesus. And whatever Jesus looks like to you is what you should be striving for. Amen. You want people, when they look at you, you want them to see Jesus. Amen. You don't want them to look at you and see, oh, she reminds me of Juanita Bynum, or she reminds me of Paula White. No. When you look at me, I want you to say, she reminds me of Jesus. Amen. But in order for us to remind anybody of Jesus, we got to forgive. You got to forgive. Listen, I know you've been molested. I know one out of every three women, and probably more, have been molested. I know you've been abandoned. You know, so many of us, our fathers walked out when we were young. I know that happened to me. I know you have been cheated on. You know, I remember being 18 years old and coming into my boyfriend's house, and he was in the bed, butt naked, and then having my cousin come knock on the door and tell me that she just left my boyfriend's bed, that he was sleeping with her. And I'm like, my God, you know, you talk about heartbreak. So I know what it's like to be married to somebody and then find out they got skeletons in the closet. Come on, somebody. You know, I know what it's like to be married to somebody and they into gay porn. You know, you talk about unforgiveness. My God, all my life I was angry. It's like I spent about 23 years before I got saved, angry, because I got saved at 33, and I think I began to be angry at 10. So I spent 23 years from 10 to 33 mad at my daddy, mad at everybody that came and hurt me after my daddy, mad at my molester, just mad, angry. And then I spent the next 7 years even saved, as a saved woman, still angry, still holding on to that unforgiveness. So until I was until I was 40 years old, that was 10 years ago, I was angry. So I spent 30 years of my life, that's more than half my life, angry and powerless. And it was only when I released the anger that I was able to walk into the fullness of who God created me to be. And that's what I'm saying. Anger, unforgiveness is a tactic of the devil to keep you in bondage. It's to keep you mad. As long as you're mad, you can't walk in love. You can't. The anger and love can't reside in the same heart. It said, the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to, you know, and I tell people, say, you always telling your testimony. You always talking about how you were molested and how you were abandoned and how your daddy beat your mommy and all of that. You always talking about that stuff. But listen, how do we defeat the devil? We defeat the devil by our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We got to declare a thing. Listen, I was lost, but now I'm found. You know, I was blind, but now I'm seeing. I was sick, but now I've been made well. Amen. I was powerless, but now I'm walking in power. And that's why I come on Saturdays, to help you. And I thank God for the women of God who come, who are already strong, to also help, that they come to help me to help you. And if you're strong, that you come to help me to help others to walk in strength. Because we all need to sharpen each other. We need each other. We don't need to be hating on each other. You know, woman of God, you've been hurt enough. You've been hurt enough. The last thing I'm going to do is hurt you. And people say, well, Pastor Rebecca, you too soft and you too loving and you care too much and you too nice. But look, that's who I am, you know, because I know that my sisters have been hurt enough. I'm not going to talk down to you. I'm not going to chastise you. I'm not going to call you out of your name. You know, I'm not going to make fun of you, because, listen, I know what that feels like. Amen. And my ministry is my ministry. This is how God gave me the minister. So this is what I'm anointed to do. Amen. And somebody else, it might be a little firmer, you know, got another way of doing ministry, but that's what God gave them to do. Amen. But what we're saying is, if we can all come together, we can help each other to be healed. Amen. Amen. So I know y'all on the phone lines, and we have people in the chat room. Feel free to raise your hand so that you can be on the air. We're going to have our marriage moments at 2 o'clock. Pastor Anthony Simmons will be calling in. So I want to talk about forgiveness. I want to talk about relationships this month. You know, how have you overcome in this area? What is your testimony? How has God helped you? What can you add to what I've already said that can help somebody? Listen, somebody's tuning in. I have over 13,000 listeners, over 13,000 listeners in 1 year that listen. They go back over my archives. They listen. Women are listening. Men are listening. So somebody's going to be listening. Somebody's going to click on this link in the archives, and they're going to want to know how I can be healed, how they can be healed. How can they let go? They've been angry all of their lives, and they hear about forgiveness, and they know they should forgive, but they don't know how to forgive. What do you have to say that can help somebody to forgive? So I just ask that you just press one, raise your hand, and I'll put you on the air so that your advice can go into the archives, so that those who are listening live now can hear something. Somebody, listen. God said that his word will not come back to him void. Amen. He said that his word will accomplish that which he sent it, and he will prosper the person to which he sent it, which means that when you speak God's word, it's going to make somebody better. Come on, somebody. When you begin to give your testimony and declare that somebody can release that anger and declare that somebody can be healed on today, you're speaking God's word, amen. And God said his word won't come back to him void. So whatever you have to say on today and whatever I say, I declare yokes are being not only broken, but they're being destroyed. I declare the women are being set free all over the world, my God, by listening to the Woman to Woman broadcast, by listening to the archives, that women are being set free, that women are being empowered to move out of unforgiveness, to get out of the pain of your past, amen, to move forward in victory. You know, come on, somebody. Listen, the devil has had his way in your life long enough. It's like a seesaw. Up and down, up and down. You get free, and then the devil comes, and because you heard the word, the Bible says affliction comes immediately because of the word. But we declare today that the devil will not steal the word on today. Let him who stole steal no more. We declare that once you release that unforgiveness, once you release that anger, that it's not coming back to heart. It's not coming back to latch into your heart. See, how do you forgive so great a pain? You make up your mind that you don't want to carry it anymore. See, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you got to make up your mind to do something different and to do something differently. That means you're saying, I'm not carrying this anymore. No, I'm sick of this mess. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of the devil. You got to get mad. You got to get angry at the devil, because it's the devil who's been trying to kill you since you were a little girl. Why do you think you went through what you went through in life? Because the devil knew that you were destined for greatness. The devil knew, my God. See, I get excited. See, the devil knew that you had greatness on the inside of you. The devil knew that there was a great plan that God had for your life. That's why the devil came against you at such an early age with such a vengeance. Do you know that I caught on fire when I was a child? I was about 5 years old. This was even before I was molested. I was about five. I might have been 5 years old, and my sister and I were getting ready to go to a party, and we had on those little taffeta party dresses with the little belt, the little organza dresses, the little lacy dresses, and we had those dresses on. And my sister Janice, God bless her soul, was 3 years older than I was, and I was about five. She was about eight. And she was putting her belt in the fire. Our babysitter had gone to the store, and my mother was out working, and mommy was going to take us to the party as soon as she got home, and we were putting our belts in the fire. So Janice would put her little belt in the fire, and then it would go out. she would do like this, and the belt would go out. And I would put my belt in the fire, and I would shake it, and it would go out. But one time, the last time I put it in there, I shook it. It looked like it went out, but the fire had not gone out. And before I knew it, I was in flames. My dress caught on fire, and I was burning, y'all. I was in flames. And my sister Janice got on the refrigerator, and she poured water down on me. Now, how many of you know that you do not pour water on the fire, especially if there's a person on fire, you know? But she poured water on me, and by the grace of God, the fire went out, but not before I had third-degree burns on my leg. And that was the only part of my little body that was burnt. And I spent months in the hospital. I did not go to that party, but I remember spending Christmas in the hospital. So how many of y'all know I was pretty bad off? I could have died. See, this is what I'm saying. I could have died. So I know that the devil came to burn me up when I was a baby. He wanted me dead. He knew that God would be using me mightily in my life. He knew that I would be right here, right now, talking to you about forgiveness. The devil already knew that I was going to be mighty in the kingdom of God, a mighty vessel in the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm saying to you. The devil already knew. Whatever has happened in your life, whether you're young or old, the devil knew that you were going to be mighty in the kingdom of God. And look, sister, it's time for you to get rid of that unforgiveness. I could have been mad at my sister for leading me to play in fire. I could have been mad at our babysitter for not being there. I could have been mad at my mom for not being there, you know. And then when I got molested, I could still be mad. You know, I still have scars is what I'm saying. I still carry the scars of the devil trying to kill me, the scars, amen. But listen, the scar is better than having an open wound. Amen. Listen. It's difficult to be healed without scars. You know, you might have a scar, but it's better than having an open wound. You got to let your heart heal. You got to let it heal. You got to let your heart heal. Don't carry the unforgiveness anymore. Don't carry the hurt. Don't carry the pain. So, you know, I forgave over and over and over again. I forgave my molester. I forgave my father for not being there. I forgave my mother for her drinking and her partying. I forgave so many people. That boyfriend that I talked about that slept with my cousin. I forgave my first husband for having those skeletons in the closet, for lying to me and deceiving me, making me think he was somebody that he wasn't. I forgave so many people over these last 10 years. Amen. And then I continued to forgive the boss who treated me wrong on the job, the boss who promoted my intern over me, so many people, brothers and sisters in the church that hurt me, my present husband, whenever we had an argument or a fight and he said something that hurt me, I have forgiven. And that's what I'm saying to you, that unforgiveness contaminates the anointing. But forgiveness increases the anointing, because now you are multiplying your love walk and you are able now to go back and help somebody else. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have Coach Lalisa in the chat room. I'm going to go over to the chat room. And she said, amen, Pastor. Forgiveness is the key to love. Yes, yeah, that's right. Forgiveness is the key to love. And Coach Lalisa has an awesome testimony. I pray that even she will call in and begin to share her testimony. I'm waiting for Apostle Van Zandt Luster to call in, because she wants to speak on this topic as well. But Lalisa, she's just so right that it's the key to love. And let me say this, forgiveness is a miracle. It's something that we do by faith, just like salvation. We don't know how the Holy Ghost does his work in our lives. It's a miracle how you're saved, how God is taking you from faith to faith and glory to glory. Well, forgiveness is a miracle that's released by obedience. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is a miracle that's released by obedience. The moment that you make up in your mind that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being mad, sick and tired of being sick, sick and tired of being miserable, sick and tired of hurting, and you say, you know what, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do what this woman is saying. I'm going to forgive those people who hurt me in the past, present, and future. I'm not going to let the sun go down on my anger. I'm going to release the old hurt, and I'm going to release the new hurt. I'm going to release all of this pain by forgiving. The moment that you forgive and say, Lord, I want to forgive these people, I forgive, God will step in and the Holy Ghost will do his work. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. All that God wants you to do is say, yes, yes, I forgive. And then the process of healing can begin. Amen. But right now you're carrying baggage. If you're carrying anger in your heart, if you're mad at somebody, if just the thought of that person makes you angry, then you're carrying some baggage. And God says it's time to drop your baggage. It's time to drop your baggage. It's time. It's time. You're wondering why you can't preach with power? Because you're mad. Because you're not walking in love. You're angry. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Yeah, the pastor might have hurt you. Your own pastor might have hurt you, and now you're sitting in church, whoa, mad at the pastor. Come on. You can't receive anything from your pastor now. Because you got a heart and heart against the pastor, but you got to forgive that pastor. Or if you... And even though we forgive does not mean, I want to say this because this is so important, even though you forgive somebody, it does not mean that you stay in relationship with that person. Even though you forgive the person, it does not mean that you stay in relationship with that person. If somebody is beating you, if somebody is beating you, if somebody is hurting you, constantly, and you forgive them, they're hurting you still, but and you forgive them. How many times? 7 times 70. Jesus told Peter, right? 7 times 70. So you forgive them over and over and over again. If that person refuses to repent, you keep forgiving, but you forgive and love them from a distance. In other words, you don't have to continue to set yourself up for abuse. For emotional abuse. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you forgive and you learn to love that person. So that person makes up their mind that they're going to treat you better than you love them from a distance. Amen. We have a caller. Amen. I thank God for all of the phone lines. Just the phone lines are lit up. And I thank God for that bold soldier that said, you know what, now I'm ready. I'm ready to stir something up with me, Pastor Rebecca. I'm ready to talk. Amen. So, caller, you're on the air. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca, and this powerful topic that you bring up today, forgiveness. This is Coach Lalisa. How are you?
I'm doing really well. God bless you, Coach Lalisa. I'm so glad you called in. I was saying, if anybody knows about forgiveness, I know you know.
Oh, thank God. I know I've been forgiven of much.
Go ahead.
Wait.
That stopped me in my tracks because I've been talking about us forgiving. But you just said, say it again.
I just simply said, I know I have been forgiven of much, and I thank God for it. I thank him for every day. Yes, glory to God. I thank him. He's forgiven me. He's forgiven me for every sin, every wrong thought, every unbelief. I just thank him. And, you know, it's, and he's done that for me. And so he's shown me how to do it. I couldn't figure it out on my own. And so he's taught me how to forgive unconditionally.
Yeah.
You know? Like you're saying, you know, it's not easy, though. It's not easy. It's impossible in our own strength. It's absolutely impossible to forgive people that have really hurt us. Oh, it's easy to forgive someone that ran on the elevator in front of you or someone that maybe has cut you off on the highway. But to forgive someone who has hurt you, stole from you, stabbed you in the back, took your boyfriend, had a baby by your cousin, or all these things that are so hurting that people do to us, you know, had us put our house up for a mortgage or whatever, and then the person didn't come through, and, you know, mama liked one better than the other and treated that one better, so we have unforgiveness for a sibling. It can be very, very painful, and it can just be so distraught. And for me, having been molested, having been raped more than one, having been beaten, abused by my boyfriends and others more than once, and it just can be a lot of unforgiveness, having been molested, you know, but forgiveness sets us free.
Yeah.
It sets us free from a bondage of frustration and sadness and anger and just, you know, I'm around a lot of people who, because I work in the halfway houses and in agencies where people need to get their lives on track, and so many times that, you know, there's unforgiveness attached to their situations.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's painful. It's painful to watch people struggle in poverty or addictions simply because they have unforgiveness. That's just so painful to watch. However, we thank God for broadcasts like this, and I thank God for this topic. It is just so important, and that many people should hear it so that they can be set free from the lifestyles that are going to cause them to end up either back in prison or, you know, end up in bad situations.
Yeah, and that's a shame because, like you say, even with your testimony and my testimony, everything that we've been through in life and being able to forgive, I thank God that you brought it full circle and said, you know what, it's not something that we can do in our own power. Forgiveness comes often as a result of having been forgiven of so much. You know, like you said, I've been forgiven of so much. And I used to say, and you just reminded me of what I used to say, which is I need to start saying it again, that God has forgiven me of so much. How dare I? How dare I not forgive those people who have hurt me, who have done me wrong, when I have been forgiven? I have no right not to forgive. It's like it's not even a right that I have to stay angry at these people, because I have been forgiven, and not only have I been forgiven, but I have been commanded to forgive. But Lalisa, a lot of people will say, well, it's easier said than done. I mean, how do we, you heard me exhorting and exhorting just to make up your mind and do it, but how can you help us? I mean, help me help the audience, that somebody out there is having a hard time. Like you said, they're still stuck in that addiction. Or maybe they're still stuck. They're serving in ministry, but they still have that coldness that comes over them at certain times in their lives. How do we forgive when it's hard? It's so hard sometimes. How do we do it?
Yeah, those people, when you find them, Pastor Rebecca, you need to really probably, not saying I can't tell you what you need to do, but we should probably be coaching them to work with a forgiveness coach.
Wow.
When people can't reach a goal, it's just like with weight loss, saving money, even women who have babies go to a coach to get deliverance, you know, when they get ready to go to deliverance and they're having their child deliver, whatever they call it, when you have a baby, that. They sometimes will work with a coach, teach them how to breathe, teach them how to handle that pain that's going to come in that hour. But when you can't reach a goal, that's when you probably should be working with a coach, someone specially that can just focus on you. See, yes, we do go to church, and yes, we do sit there. Sometimes people on purpose, they will sit all the way in the back Like before they ever went to church, their mind was made up. I'm going to sit way in the back. And it's not that, you know, God can't reach you from wherever you sit in there. It's the point that your mind, you've now put like up a roadblock because you already identified this place where you want to hide. And we know the Holy Ghost is not going to force himself on you.
Yeah.
If before you get there, you already made up in your mind, I want to sit way in the back because I don't want to be talked to or touched or seen or my problem dealt with. Typically, even if they're going to church, their problems are still not being dealt with. But if you work with a coach, it is our job to focus on you one-on-one. Now, the pastor could also do that, but most pastors are also having to do so many other things. Now, some pastors are coaches, but, you know, to be a coach, you have to have some special training. Just like to be a pastor, you had special training by the Holy Ghost if you didn't go to some kind of formal seminary.
Oh yeah,
training by the.
You can't say cemetery.
It was absolutely a slip at that moment. I knew though people do it as a funny slip, but I wasn't doing that. It's just that I really am a high school dropout, so everything I say ain't gonna come out perfect.
Wow. You know, I understand that. The coach aspect, you know, but you talked about the person who will go to church and intentionally sit in the back of the church because they don't want their problems dealt with. How do you, now this person doesn't even want to deal with God to deal with their problems in the church. How are you going to even get that type of person, that same person to say, you know what, I'm going to get a coach to help me to deal with this anger, to deal with this unforgiveness? Would you not agree that in order for a person to be helped at all, they have to identify that there is a problem and then want help with that problem?
Well, that's part of what, you know, is the other piece that I was stating is that now this person, because you were saying, what happens if a person says? So I was then assuming that whoever it is who is going to get the help is someone who has at least said, I'm struggling in this area. This person could come to the altar over and over and over and say, okay, please help me get delivered from this, this, or that. It could be crack. It could be alcohol. It could be fornication. It could be whatever, lying, cheating, whatever it is. And so they've come in and they're asking. So that's what I was thinking. Now, a person who absolutely has not even identified, more than likely, they know the problem, but they do not want help. Not yet ready to go in a new direction, because sometimes newness means, you know, it's kind of scary, it's unknown. So I'm okay with the familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is scary. And so many times we're so familiar with the pain and we're unfamiliar with total liberty, you know, being totally free from that pain. I don't know about how long you actually carried the pain from your past, but like I was saying, I carried that pain for a long time, and it was a big part of who I am. I didn't know anything else but pain. I knew nothing else but anger. I knew nothing else but bitterness. So, you know, and I went to church. I mean, I'll just tell you, I went to church, and I kept going to church. You know, I went every time the doors were open. I went on Sundays, and then I went on Wednesdays for Bible study, and then I went to the marriage ministry, and then I went to retreats, women's retreats, where a lot of that coaching stuff was taking place because we were structured for deliverance when we went on our retreats. So it's like God stepped in and miraculously healed me. I mean, I can say it was a miracle that I'm healed today. But like you said, some people need counseling and some people need coaching. You know, some people need more than a Sunday morning experience. And if the truth be told, a lot of people are not even going to church every week anymore. So there has to be another avenue for us to get healed. You know what I'm saying?
Because here's what happens within a coaching session, similar to a counseling session. Now I'm going to target your issue. So I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to say, okay, what is it that you want? They now, I doubt if somebody will say, well, I want to continue being a crackhead.
Yeah.
I want to continue being overweight to where the doctors are threatening me if I don't lose weight, I'm going to die. And not see my 3-year-old child make it to the second grade. Most people are not going to answer in that way, most people. Most people will tell you how they want it to look like. They'll say, well, I want to be healthy. I want to be whole. I want to go to sleep at night without having nightmares of he's coming to rape me or he's doing this or this or that. I want to stop getting high, whatever, whatever, whatever. They will say that. And now, as a coach, now it's our job, as we've been trained, to help you remove the roadblocks to that goal. The only thing stopping you from that goal is some type of a block. Now, spiritually, we can say it's a demonic force, and so we may offer prayer, we may offer fasting, we may offer, prayer, we may offer fasting, we may offer you meditating on this particular word. We may ask you to not say things that you don't want to show up in your life. If you're coaching somebody in a marriage or whatever, whatever, we may teach you, sort of like what a 12 steps would do, would teach you to say this, this, or that, and because we know how powerful, and because we know the power of words and the power of thoughts, we know as believers, we know that better than, some of these other people who are really successful in it that don't even believe in the God we believe in. So, really, they're not making fools of us, but come on. You have people like Tony Robbins who he's helped millions of people out of these same places that the average person go to the church and leave with that same problem, and that's not right. And sometimes just as an individual, you got to pay $1,000 just to go to one of his sessions.
Yeah, and see, that's what I was telling my husband this morning. You make a great point. We were talking in bed, actually, about the power of words, the power of spoken words, and even the power of positive thinking. So I told my husband, I said, do you know what I was involved in before I got saved? And he said, what? I said, the power of positive thinking. When we first met, before I got saved, someone broke into my car, Coach LaLisa. And when I came back and looked at my car window, I could not get angry. I did not get angry, but I looked and I said, whoever did this needs love. They need love. They're having some issues. I mean, I was so positive and so geared towards positivity that I could not even get angry. And my husband looked at me and he was like, they busted out your window. That's going to cost you a couple $100s to get fixed. What do you mean you're not even angry? But I was not angry at those guys because I had trained myself to think positive. Now I said that worked on the surface, but as you heard my testimony earlier, it did not work really deep inside where I had been carrying and blocking out the fact that I was really truly hurting on the inside. But I said to my husband, I said, it worked to an extent in the world. Now, how dare we come into the church and everything becomes negative? All of our thought process becomes negative. We don't look at the Bible as good news or a good book, but we look at it as judgment and hellfire and brimstone. We need to look at the gospel for what it truly is. It's the power of God for salvation. Amen. It's the good news. Amen. It's victory through Jesus. Amen. It's not being conformed to the things of this world, but being renewed, being transformed, not being conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Philippians, Paul tells us to think on whatsoever things are what? Good, pure, righteous, a good report, praiseworthy. And he tells us to think on these things. He says, rejoice. Always, I say rejoice. And so what we have to realize is that we're not walking into the fullness of everything that God has afforded to us through the Bible. That's why I respect coaches, you know, because with the coaching industry, what you do is you pull out all of that good stuff, especially Christian coaches, and you're pulling out the good, and you're helping people to apply that to their lives so that they truly can walk in victory. And that's what I think a lot is missing in the church, where we are not training ourselves, even with the words that we speak out of our mouth. It says, by the mouth, in the mouths of what? Two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Amen.
So we need to train ourselves even to begin to speak what? Not even, we talk positive words. If you take your coaching, and I mean, that coaching thing is so powerful, and you apply that word of God, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to speak what my circumstances say, but I'm going to speak what God's word says. Yeah, then you truly can, I believe, begin to walk in victory. So I totally have an appreciation of what you do as a coach. And we have another caller, but I want you to go ahead and respond to that and even give us some information about how someone could get in touch with you as a coach if they were looking for a coach.
Amen. They can absolutely. What you're saying, Pastor Rebecca, is, you know, is so correct and right. You know, we got to do whatever we can to help people and not put people in pigeonholes and say that, well, as long as they're doing this, as long as they're going to church, and they keep on going and they keep on slipping farther and farther and farther, when we know that there is another type of a help. And God is the one who raises up coaches. God is the one who raises up and sits down. God is the one who raised up doctors. God is the one who raised up teachers and whatever. So, you know, we can't say, well, that's outside of the will of God. How so be it? He said that any gift, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. So if you have a gift that's able to help people, but they can get in touch with me through the internet, through Facebook, it would be the quickest, easiest way. But you can send me a message. Even if you do not have a Facebook page, you can send me a message. Just go to Coach Lalisa or type in Lalisa, or you can just, you know, go to Google, put my name in, Lalisa, L-I-L-I-S-A Williams, and I'll respond. Send me an inbox request with your information. And we're looking forward, Pastor Rebecca, to doing some more work this year to help people get set free from those demonic spirits, drugs, alcohol, prostitution, fornication, negative attitudes, bad feelings, unforgiveness, and some of it's causing people to be unemployed, and that we're about to put an end to.
Ah, amen. And that's what it's all about. Like you said, every good and perfect gift does come from above, and you're using your gifts. I know you. You know, Coach Lalisa, for everybody who's listening, she's a coach. She's a minister of the gospel. She's a prophet. You know, God is using her in so many ways. She's a woman of God. She is a woman of God and a woman of great power, and she is tapping into all of her gifts. She's a radio show host, television show host, soon to be. God is just using her. She's a powerful, powerful preacher. You know, so this woman of God.
And don't forget, an ex-prostitute, been to jail, was out there. So people hear, okay, you're doing this and that, and they think, okay, maybe you just were poor growing up. No, I was a prostitute on the streets, out there in jail, have been locked up. So I'm, you know, it's more about, you know what, if I can do it, so can you. Been hooked on drugs, smoked crack cocaine. Listen, come on, okay?
Come on. And she's an author some powerful books. So, she, you know, I would say, you know, I think about the man, the parable of the talents. Come on. Where God has given you these talents, and at the end of the day, when you stand face to face with him, he's going to say, what did you do
with
those talents that I gave you? You know, did you bury them in the dirt of life? Or did you utilize them for my glory? And I would say, Coach Lalisa J. Williams, that you are utilizing your talents for the glory of God. That's why I tell you, I have no problem saying, look, tell people how they can get in touch with you, because you are the person that I would say, definitely, if anybody were going to coach me, it would definitely be you. So I definitely would say, get in touch with Coach Lalisa J. Williams. If you feel like you need more, you need another push, then go ahead and contact this woman of God. If you've been sitting in church week after week and you still have unforgiveness in your heart, go ahead and contact this woman of God. You can hit her up on Facebook, Coach Lalisa J. Wynn. She's a certified coach. Amen.
God bless you. Love you. I'll keep listening.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, and thanks for calling in. Amen. We have another caller. I want to say hello to I Am Inspired, Minister Valerie Williams, in the chat room. Amen. To God be the glory, and to Pastor Ultra Patriarch Greg. Amen. God bless you. Men do listen to the Women to Women show. I know it's a show for women, but listen, the content here can be used by anybody. So we're excited about what God is doing here on the Women to Women show. Listen, we're going to the top of the charts with some other shows right here on blogtalkradio.com. Not in competition with anyone, but making sure that we're going to give God the glory on the Women to Women show. We have another caller. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about relationships this month. Area code 423. You're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women show.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Apostle Van Zandt. How are you today?
God bless you, Apostle. I was waiting for your call. I'm doing really well. How are you doing today?
Doing good. I just had some errands. I was rushing home, so I said I would at least catch an hour of your show. But I wanted to, I don't know what has been said in the past hour. I just caught the tail end of the woman of God just got off. She was mentioning about being in prison and being a prostitute and then how she's now a coach and a prophet of the Lord, woman of God of the Lord. And I caught the forgiveness part, and you're talking about the unforgiveness. So I kind of want to just piggyback or maybe just add on to what has already previously been said about unforgiveness. I have written a book called Wrong Decision, and in that I discuss about forgiveness. That you must do that in order to be healed. And if I can just read just a few lines just to add on to what has been already said, discussing the topic of forgiveness, being able to forgive. The power
yes,
of forgiveness,
please.
Yes, the power of forgiveness is necessary before healing can take place in any of us. And before we can go into a new relationship, we first must enable, cut the cord, disconnect ourselves from the old relationship. And the most important thing is we must forgive that person that afflict, abuse, hurt upon us in whichever form it was afflicted upon us. And when you forgive the person who abused you, you then release them of the power they have over you. You cut the umbilical cord of that control that they have over you. However, if you must first forgive yourself. Most of the time people struggle with forgiveness is because they have not first forgiven themselves. That's the most important part. When we can forgive ourselves first, then there's room within our soul to forgive the other person who afflicted abuse, pain, whatever it may be upon us. Then we can commit. We can forgive those who inflicted pain upon us, and then we can move from our past relationship and go into a new relationship. And so we have to allow God to bring us into a place of wholeness, deliver us, let go of what the person has done, no matter how deep it is. I have this little cliche that I say, forgiveness is not easy, but if we walk it out, sometimes we have to walk forgiveness out because it depends on it depends on the abuse. It depends on the mental abuse, the physical abuse, the emotional abuse. It depends on what the person did to you, you know, whatever it is, whatever the degree of that affliction is. Some is easy to forgive and some is not. And that when you find yourself in a place where it's hard to forgive a person for what they've done to you, then you have to start a process, what I call the process of walking it out. And that's a daily process of forgiving that person, adding the word of God to it, staying in God's presence, asking God to give you the strength that you need to forgive that person, to let go of what they've done, to erase the memories. Because if we still have the memories of the abuse in our mental mind, then it's still going to be a repeated play. It's going to be like a tape recorder. It's going to be a repeated picture in that mind, in the mindset. So we have to walk that abuse, that forgiveness out until we get to the road, to the end of the place of complete forgiveness, where we can say, I completely forgive you, and later on down the road, something may trigger and come up, and then that bad memory doesn't happen. That's how we know that we have not forgiven a person completely, is because something will trigger it. Later on down the road, maybe in a new relationship, something triggers it in that new present relationship, and then that tells you right there that you haven't completely forgiven, because the memory, we won't never forget, but that pain or that little kick in your spirit won't rise up to remind you of what that person has done. So forgiveness is a very valid key for any new relationship and just for our personal walk with Christ. Because it helped the relationship to breathe, and we're able to forgive. And forgiveness just is not easy, but God will grace us. It brings healing. It brings wholeness. And we have to learn the power of to forgive. It's a choice to forgive. God's given us that power of choice. So we have that power to forgive, and we have to use that power of choice that the Lord has given us. We have a choice to accept his will. We have a choice to forgive. We have a choice not to forgive. So we have to use that power of choice to say, I am going to forgive you whether you forgive me or not, or whether you apologize to me or not. I choose to forgive you so I can be delivered and I can be set free from your control that you have over my life.
Yeah.
And whenever you go into a relationship, it will be something that you reap from. So it's so important. I love it when I saw it on your Facebook about relationships. I said, okay, this is my area. This is right where I, you know, this is it. And it's so many levels of relationship. It's just so much to relationships. So I heard you also say that you weren't, you're not trying to copy anybody else. But it's so, you know, God gives you a level of relationship to teach and minister to the people. God gives me a level of relationship to teach to the people, because there's so many levels of relationship that we have to deal with people. So many levels of relationship. You have people with so many issues and so many concerns, the reason why they can't forgive and why they can't let go. But we have to choose to forgive and go on. So we can, we have to divorce our past, so we can marry our future. And that's what unforgiveness, that's what forgiveness.
Well, did you say that again, Apostle?
We have to, let me see if I can remember, because the word is slow. We have to divorce our past in order to marry our future. And that is with forgiveness. When we forgive our past, those that have hurted us, abused us in whatever form it may be, we have to divorce our past, and that's what the key of with forgiveness, so we can marry our future.
Wow. You know, and I'm going to ask you the same question that I just asked Coach LaLisa, because there are a lot of people, and she identified it also, a lot of people sitting in our churches. And no, I'm not going to say sitting in our churches, because I declare that the people sitting in my church are being set free. So there's a lot of people, because I'm telling you, we got to begin to declare and believe in the power of this word, the transforming, healing power of the word of God. And then we got to stop identifying with some of the bondage that the enemy is inflicting upon the people. And I know you know what I'm talking about, Apostle. But in the church, there are a lot of people in the church who are not being set free, you know, and they're not forgiving. And the devil has them in bondage because of something that has happened in their lives. Or maybe they're not coming to church. Maybe they're on Facebook, or maybe they're not even yet believers, but they're hurting, and they're hearing this message about forgiveness that's going out through the internet waves, and they're having a hard time forgiving. What do you say? What's the most important thing, the most powerful, pertinent thing that you can say to these people who are still holding on to that pain, still saying, you know what, you don't know what they did to me. I know what you got your story, but I got mine, and you just don't know what I've been through. I can't forgive, or they don't deserve to be forgiven. What do you say to these people?
I would. Oh, that's a loaded question. I would say to a person, if they would say, you know, come to me and say that, I would first ask them or say to them to examine themselves first, to search their soul to see what it is that's on the inside of them that's not allowing them to forgive. Because when we hold on to stuff of the past, it's a pacifier. It keeps, when we refuse to forgive a person of what they've done to us, it's a pacifier. It reminds us of the affliction or the abuse that they inflicted upon us. It keeps it's a repeated thing within their soul and that memory bank and that mindset. But I would first ask them to search themselves to find out why can they not forgive, what it is about them in their soulish error, because this here starts from the soul. It's a soul tie that's connected. When we end with relationship, we connect soul ties. And if we don't cut the soul tie connected to that past relationship, then that soul tie, even though we might be in a new relationship, that connection is still there, and we carry on to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. And we find ourselves damaged and confused and just all messed up because we have not cut the soul tie. And a person like that, I would say, that they need to cut the soul tie. They need to make a choice. Once again, they must make a choice to forgive themselves so they can be free to forgive that person that afflicted, even though it's the hardest thing. You know, I've had experiences where I've been just, I mean, hurt to where I wanted to take pills to save my life. But I had to face myself in the mirror. I had to look at myself in the mirror and realize that if I don't forgive this person, they will keep me, I'm in their control. They have power over my life for the rest of my life if I don't choose to forgive them. They have control over, they control my feelings, they control my emotions, because whatever it is that I'm holding on to against them and where I refuse to forgive them, they have that control and power over my life. So I have to make a decision to cut that power of control of them, cut that soul tie, and choose to forgive myself. Because I was in a relationship, I married the wrong man several, many years ago. And it was hard for me, it was a struggle. And I had to come to the place to where I said, God, forgive me first. And when I asked God to forgive me, when I said, God, I forgive myself, I tell you, there was a freedom. I was able to forgive that person who afflicted emotional, mental, verbal, and some physical abuse upon me. I was able to let them go and forgive them because I had to deal with myself first.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and that's so powerful that we have to realize that when we do not forgive, we are giving people that hurt us power over our lives. And we are literally handing them our future, handing them our present on the platter and saying, look, my life belongs to you because I am so bound up with unforgiveness that I can't move forward. And that person really does take up a lot of space in your life that they shouldn't because you have not decided that you're going to take back your life and forgive. So, and I thank you so much for your testimony, because we got to let people know that we're not just speaking these words, but we have lived these words. You know, we have truly lived this thing out, and day by day, I know you're a female apostle. You're an apostle, not even a female apostle, but you're an apostle. And I know that day by day, you still have to walk in forgiveness.
Yes. Yes,
you know, day by day. And somebody in the chat room, Patriarch Greg, we have a man with us, and he said that you cannot divorce your past. He said your past will always be with you. He said, He said, you cannot divorce your past. It will always be with you. Besides, the use of the word divorce is reserved for the definition that is given in the Bible. And he said, ditto for marrying the future. And I just wanted Patriarch Greg to know that I understood it was pretty much a play on words, and he said he understands, but it should be avoided because it can create confusion. I went to the Bible. I went to Crosswalk while you were talking, and I looked at the word divorce. It's only mentioned in the King James version of the Bible. It's mentioned once. Jeremiah 3:8, it talks about giving the wife a bill of divorce. It says, and I saw when all the courses whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. God here, even in the book of Jeremiah, when he's talking about that word divorce, is not speaking of divorce between a man and a woman. He's speaking of his marriage between himself and Israel, and also between himself and Judah. And God is saying that he gave backsliding Israel a bill of divorce. And he said also Judah. So even God used that word divorce, not so as a marriage between a man and a woman, but the marriage between himself and the church. And when you look at the definition of that word divorce, when you go back and look at the Hebrew language for that word divorce, the word is kiritu, and the word means divorce, dismissal, or divorcement. So we can say that she used that word properly, because what she was saying is you got to dismiss your past. You got to dismiss the power that your past has, to loose yourself from your past and cleave as in marriage, marry yourself to your future. So I just wanted to clarify that, even though it may have seemed like she was making her wording was not correct, even as I went and looked deeper, she said that thing, divorce your past, dismiss the power of your past, dismiss that past, that pain of your past, and walk into total healing. You marry yourself to the future that God has for you. Amen. Is that all right, Apostle?
All right. It's cutting away the things of your past. That's what I meant. That's what the best what it means to me. When I say divorcing your past, I mean it just as you explained it, and I mean it as letting go of your past, cutting away the memories, cutting away the soul ties of your past, because you never can go forth to your future if you don't disconnect yourself from your past, because you'll be in bondage to your past, which will hinder you from going to your future.
Amen. Amen. So, and then, you know, we don't want to get caught up on technicality, but we do want you to know that we want to cut out confusion. Patriarch Greg, we thank you for being here, and we thank you for your input. But, yeah, God is clear. I can tell you one thing. God is clear, women of God, and even to the men of God who are listening, God is clear. He does not want us walking in bondage. He does not want us living in bondage to our past, because it's crippling. Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. So we know that his grace is not in vain. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace is not in vain. So women of God, men of God, we are exhorting you to walk in forgiveness, because by doing so, you are taking back. You are taking back the freedom. Not even taking back, but you're taking possession of the freedom from captivity that Jesus came and died on the cross for you to have. Amen. He got up with all power in his hand, and that's what he's saying. That same resurrection power is, and I'm glad we got here, because that same resurrection power that got Jesus up from the grave, that is working on the inside of you to get you up from the grave of bitterness, the grave of resentment, the grave of unforgiveness, the grave of wallowing in your past. You know, God is saying that he sent his son Jesus so that you could have life, and that's Zoe, so that you can have life more abundantly, that blessed life. And if you're walking in unforgiveness, you're not living the blessed life. So, Apostle, I just want you to talk a little bit more. And then for you on the phone lines, if you want to be on the air, just press 1 and we'll put you on the air. I'll put you on the air. If not, continue to listen. Or you could chat in the chat room. I'm watching the chat room. You could agree with us, disagree. That's what it's all about. The iron sharpens iron. Amen. And at the end of this 2 hours, we want to all come out better. Amen. So, Apostle, I want you to talk some more about forgiveness and how we can continue to. You know, you said something about making a choice to forgive.
Yes.
I want you to talk some more about that choice, even for those people who feel like they can't do it. How does choice come into that equation?
I would also say to that, when you get to a place to where it's difficult to make a choice to forgive, that's where you have to go. I would go to God, and I have been there, where I found it difficult at times to forgive the person that abused me. I have to go to God to ask the Lord for the strength to give me the power, the strength that I needed to make the choice that I needed to do. So I would say when it gets difficult, we can't do some things we cannot do on our own. We need the power of God to give us the strength. I go to the Word. I would say go to the Word of God. Find some scriptures that will strengthen you and give you the ability and the strength to make that choice to decide to choose to forgive. And I believe also when we understand the fullness of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, when we understand letting go means forgiving and asking for forgiveness. Forgiveness is freedom. It's the ability to let go, literally set your soul free, and it releases you from bondage. That's, you used that word a little while ago, bondage. When we understand the power of forgiveness, the power to forgive, there's a power in forgiveness. Because when we understand and when we receive or get the revelation of the power, oh God, to forgive that person, is paint you a picture. It's like I'm in a cage. We're going to picture myself in a cage, and the cage has a lock on it. And the person that inflicted the abuse upon me is outside of the cage walking around. But I'm the one that needs to forgive them for what they've done to me. But they're free. They're walking around, but they're the one who inflicted the abuse, the pain upon me. But I'm the one that's in the cage with the padlock on the cage. I'm in bondage, and I'm there watching them walking back and forth, reminding me of what they've done to me. But when I realize, when the revelation comes of the power of forgiveness, that I must forgive them whether they apologize or not, that the power of forgiveness will allow me the key to open the lock and open the padlock off of the cage, that I can set my own self free. That we're sometimes we're looking for that person that inflicted that pain upon us to set us free, but that's not in their hands. The power of forgiveness is in our hands, and when we forgive them, then we set our own self free. We set ourselves free. And then that comes with a choice. Because you will get, when we get to a place where we're tired of being in bondage to captivity or whatever that captivity may be, when we are tired of being in that captivity, we come to a choice. We make a decision. I'm ready to be free, so I'm going to forgive you for what you've done to me. I'm going to set my own self free.
Yeah. Wow. So I'm in the cage. I'm in the cage. The cage is locked, but I have the key.
Yes, you have the key to set your own self free. But it's the power of choice. It's where you are. It's a place where we must arrive within ourselves, within our soul. I love to deal with the soul. It's a place where we must arrive within our soul and say, soul, be free. Because we hold the key to our freedom. We hold the key to wherever it is we want to go, whatever it is we want to do. We hold the key. God has given us that power to set ourselves free, or we can either stay in bondage through the power of choice. So So we have a choice to rather we can either sit and waddle in the unforgiveness and stay there and become bitter. And the longer, I'm just hearing the Holy Ghost say this, the longer we stay in that place of unforgiveness, it opens the door for bitterness, unhealthy toxins, just all kinds of stuff to come in to cause us to be sick. It begins to affect our physical health. But then we have the choice, the power of choice sets us free. To realize that we have that power, but the power, we have that key. That's a key. That's a power of choice. That's a key. The power to forgive, that's a key. We have the keys. He's given us the keys. And we have to loose ourselves. And when we come in agreement, that's what he said. He said he'll loose whatever he loose, he's going to loose it after we loose it in the earth. And he'll bind it in heaven, whatever we bind on earth. So God is not going to, he can't do that until we do it first. He's given us the power to do that. He said, I've given you the keys to bind and to loose. He said, now whenever you use the key to loose, I'm going to loose it out of the heaven. And whenever you use the key to bind, I'm going to bind it up in heaven. In other words, he's going to come into agreement with whatever we do in the earth. So use the power of choice, which is the key, to say I'm going to forgive so I can loose myself. Then it comes into agreement that the Lord, okay, you're free. You're set free. So we have so much power that we don't understand that we have, and we're looking for the other person to set us free when it is us that has the power to set our own self free.
That's good. That's real good. I tell you, and as I was thinking about the power of choice, that power of choice even comes through obedience. Because we have to remember that we have been commanded to forgive. You know, we Jesus talks about that so often. He says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And he talks about forgiveness, and I believe right along with that same scripture he talks about binding and loosing, that we have been commanded to forgive. Jesus has commanded us. First, he taught us how to pray. When you look at Matthew, and he's taught us in Matthew 6:12, part of that prayer, he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we first have to pray and ask God to forgive us our debts and help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. And then we have to go ahead, later on Jesus go ahead and said, in that same chapter, go ahead and forgive. 2 verses later, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, he said, forgive. You know, so we have to obey. You know, obedience is so powerful. I'm going to say that again. Making the choice to obey, the choice to forgive, it's so powerful. Apostle Vincent Luster said it so powerfully that choice, when you make that choice to obey God, when you make that choice to forgive, you're loosing yourself from the power of the enemy, and you're binding up Satan. Now, when you step outside of that cage, you know, your adversary either has to bow down to the God in you or flee. or just get out of your way, you know, because you now are walking in divine power. Thank you so much, Apostle. I want you to stay with me as I take these next couple of calls, but that is so powerful. If you have any, I'm going to let you respond, and then we're going to take another call, but that is so powerful.
Praise God.
I know God has a little bit more that he wants you to release before we take this next call.
Okay. I thought you were going to put me on hold and then take the call. Okay. Well, I, you know, just to forgive, you know, is once again, we must, I was thinking about a scripture that you were mentioning. I was trying to think of in my head right then too. I believe there is a scripture that says that we cannot be forgiven unless we forgive our brothers. It's hard to forgive us. You know, he can't forgive us until we forgive each other. So we have to look at not using the power of choice. We have to look at it on the other side of the fence, that if I don't use the power of choice, what is the consequences that we pay? We pay a consequence, and I'm just speaking as I'm hearing the Lord speak. speak this to me. What is the consequences if I don't use the power of choice, if I don't use the power of forgiveness? What penalty do I pay if I don't use this key? I have these two keys in my hands, the power of choice to use the power of forgiveness. It's two keys. They work together because it's a choice to forgive. They work together. You can't use the other without the other key. So you have to make the choice to forgive. And if I don't make the choice to forgive, then I must ask myself, what is the consequences? What is the price that I will pay if I never forgive? Well, that price is a very high price. It causes the door of your soul to open up to so many other things. Resentment comes in, anger comes in, animosity comes in, guilt comes in, shame comes in. So many other, what I call cousins to unforgiveness, all their family members comes in and they take a seat. And this is where when you find people that have they're deep, and it becomes a stronghold. That's the word I'm looking for. It becomes a stronghold. And just because I refuse to forgive, I refuse to choose to forgive, then something else takes place in my soul. And I'm really in a deep prison. I'm lost in a deep prison. And all of the family members of unforgiveness comes in and has a seat in my soul.
Wow.
And
now I'm
locked into the spirit of a stronghold. And so now I have greater deliverance than if I would have chose to pick up the key of choice to forgive, which is my power. That's my power. But I refuse to pick up the key of choice. Is my power to forgive. So now I allow myself to be in a deeper place, like a dungeon, if you will. And now the stronghold, I'm locked and I'm in bondage of a stronghold. So now it takes a deeper deliverance for me to be delivered from that spirit and their family members.
Yeah. Wow. You broke that down. Is that all of that in your book, Apostle?
Yeah. The Lord just gave. I'm looking at my book now, but the Holy Ghost is adding some more stuff onto it.
Yes, that's the next volume. That's the next volume. Let us have the name of your book again. I speak with Apostle Vanzant, Vanzant, Luster, Luster, and she's just been sharing with us on the power of forgiveness. She has written a book, and I want her to, I believe the name of the book is Wrong Decisions.
Wrong decisions, right?
Yes. Let us know where we can find a copy of your book and how we can get in touch with you. And I need a copy of that book.
Yes. You can go on my website, www.apostolickingdom.org. That's www.apostolickingdom.org. You can go on my website and you can order the book from there. You can pay it through the PayPal.
Amen. Well, I'll be ordering my copy later on this evening when I come back in. I'm looking forward to reading the book and having you come back as my featured guest, Apostle, if you would be so kind as to grant me an interview regarding your book.
Okay.
After I read it. So thank you so much. Well, we have two more callers and about 17 minutes. Apostle, stay with me, and just in case I might be able to put you back on before the end of the broadcast. And thank you so much for being with me today.
You're welcome.
Amen. Area code 973, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman show today.
Good afternoon. I'm Pastor Rebecca. This is Tina. I'm calling
God
in.
God bless you, Tina.
God bless you, Pastor. This show is powerful. I came in on part of it, and what Apostle was just saying, everything he was just stating, I was taking notes as I was listening to her because I was thinking of someone in my family who is actually going through that process of the step-by-step process that she was giving about what happens when you don't forget. Thinking of how those family members come in, and whether it's bitterness, stubbornness, illness, whatever, because you can't release the past. You are holding on so much. And this person, she is holding on so much to the pain of a failed marriage that is impacting everything she does. Although she has accomplished more after the marriage has ended, she's still holding on to it. So it's just like when you were talking, I was like, I have to give her this book. I got to keep her in prayer, because it's hard to see someone in your family go through a process of just starting to deteriorate and unravel in front of you because of the unforgiveness. You know, she won't forgive him, although they're going on with their life, and that's causing her to just, you know, react in a certain way to different family members and different things that she's going through. So when I was listening to you, and it's like forgiveness, the two keys that you talked about, forgiveness and having a choice and just letting go and divorcing the past and marrying your future, that is right on point, because that's right for her. I believe if she begins to let go, and what Pastor Rebecca had also said as far as the bondage that you were in, and like she goes to church, she reads the Bible, but she still has a bondage. I believe that unforgiveness becomes like this mental negative mindset that you just hold on to, that you don't want to, you're not starting to let go of the past because you're just bonded by Satan memories, Satan constantly giving the memories of the past of what that person has done to you, that you can't even free yourself at that moment. So you just hold on to it. But it's just causing you to just unravel and like just not be the person that you once were. So I would ask the apostle, what do you do as a family member when you're watching someone go through that, and you may try to offer alternatives or offer advice, but that person doesn't see it. They don't see that they're unraveled. They don't see that they're holding on to this pain, but their action surely shows it.
Apostle, that was a question for you.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure. I don't want to walk into anything wasn't for me to walk into. What I would say to that, when they don't see that they need deliverance and that healing, the only thing you can do at this point is pray for their eyes to be open.
Okay.
You have to pray for their eyes to be open, because when a person cannot see themselves, you can't convince them otherwise.
Right.
You can't convince a person otherwise that they need help when they can't see it themselves. And it sounds like what is happening is that pain and that hurt mixed in with that unforgiveness is now taking over their character.
Right.
Because that's what will happen. It will filter through your character, and then you begin to act out what is in your soul.
Right. And that's exactly what is happening. She begins to act out, and it's taking her out of her character. And maybe she doesn't, like you said, she doesn't see it right at the moment. And we're watching and we're seeing it, and we're trying to have a conversation. But until she recognizes that this is what's happening to her, and I guess it doesn't matter if when you have that unforgiveness in your heart for somebody, it doesn't matter if you go on and you do great things. It still comes back. You know, she's gone on and got college degrees and doing different things in different areas, but that unforgiveness in her is still taking her out of her character. So it don't matter what she's accomplishing, she's still not the same person. She's still walking around with a lot of animosity.
Yeah. And she's blinded. She's blinded also, as you were talking, where she is now from just listening to what you're saying, she's become blinded by her pain, and unforgiveness has blinded, so she can't see. She can't see right now. So you have to pray her through. You have to pray for God to open her eyes, to allow her to see herself. And when she sees the state that she's in, then you can walk in the door and get her help. She can get help.
Okay. Amen. Thank you for that.
Amen. Wow. Amen. And that is so powerful. You said she couldn't see. And our apostle, you know, Apostle Vincent Lester said, we have to pray for her to see. And I thought that counsel, Apostle, I respectfully, let me say this, that counsel right there, you just taught me something. If there's a problem, then we need to pray in the area of that problem. You know,
right.
Not that she would get free, but that she would see so that she can get free. And I just caught that. That was so powerful. Thank you so much, Apostle Vincent Lester, for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Tina. We're going to take another caller. Did you have anything else?
No, that was it. That was powerful right there. Amen.
I thought that I mean, something happened right there for me. I tell you, I felt that. We have one more caller, and then we're going to talk a little bit. I see the chat room, Minister Valerie Allen in the chat room, and she is just praising God in the chat room. And she talked about if we were able be able to see the power of how Jesus was able to forgive and die, rise from death, that we may live and declare the goodness of God. And she talked earlier about how Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But sometimes in order for us to even get there, we got to pray. And sometimes we're not praying. So that was why that was so powerful when Apostle Vincent Lester said, pray. So we have another caller, area code 410. We thank you so much for holding, and I bind up Satan off of my switchboard so that we could get you on the air. But I thank you so much for holding area code 410. You're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
Well, it is good, I should say, to be back on the Woman to Woman Show, Pastor Rebecca. This is Beverly Carter, and it is another hot show. Wow.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
God, it is. God bless you. I just wanted to just kind of thank God for you and your ministry and how you're bringing forth these words that are going to set people free. You know, the apostle talked about some strongholds and bondage that we can get tangled up in when we don't forgive. And so that's a word that needs to go out. And in terms of the body of Christ, I know I had a personal experience with that just last week where I was at a workplace and this person has just declared themselves, you know, they can't stand me, they're my enemy, and another person telling me about how this person is, you know, they're always putting you down and they're, you know, they can't stand you. And so first I was feeling like, yeah, you know, and that person's no good, and that person's this or that. But then an incident happened where it got really bad in a meeting, and they said something and did something, and I was feeling kind of bad afterwards. And so I prayed, like what the apostle said, and we had to pray. And so I was asking God, because I knew I was in the wrong place, because I'm feeling too much. Whenever we're of God and we're feeling too much, we're supposed to be walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. So I knew I wasn't in the right place. So I said to God, I was like, okay, God, you got to help me in this. And he pointed me to the scripture that says, I'll make your enemy your footstool.
Whoa.
So normally I've used that before. I, you know, stood on that word, and I was always thinking, yeah, and they're digging a ditch for me, and I'll be standing on top of the ditch and, you know, whatever. You know, they're helping me, you know, get ahead. And but God showed me that I have to, he said, what do you do to your enemies? And the word says we love them. What do you do to those who spitefully use you? You do good to them. You forgive those who trespass against you so that I can forgive of you of your trespasses. So all these scriptures were coming back to me. I'm having this dialogue with God. And so I was saying, when I got through with that, it was like, oh, I see it now. If I really love this person that has declared themselves my enemy for no reason of my own, and that means I didn't do anything to them. I'm trying to get along with them. But they have just declared themselves my enemy. So God has said to me that that's giving me an opportunity to show his glory. So it is a footstool of sorts to be this powerful witness. It's an opportunity. It's a platform to be his witness in this day that you really can love. And it's not just for the person who, you know, scriptures talk about, it's like heaping hot coals on their head. But those looking on, like the person who kept coming back to me, yeah, that person can't stand you, that person can't stand you. So the next time so after God switched that thing and turned it around for me, it was like instead of dreading seeing the guy, now I can't wait to see him. And so I was like, okay, I'm at this meeting. So, no, this one guy brought it to me again. Oh, yeah, that's the guy, you know, he can't stand you. I said, oh, but I love him.
Oh.
And he stopped. He was like, oh, that's right. You're supposed to love your enemies because you know I'm a Christian. I'm a professed Christian. And I'm thinking, yeah, and so are you. Supposed to love yours. But that's neither here nor there. So then the next time I got into the meeting with the guy, I was able to really, only with the power of God, because we cannot do none of this in our flesh, because our flesh has a right to be mad. But in our spirit, we understand, like Jesus, forgive them for they know not what they do. So we just do what God has given us. And so I was able to look at this guy and say hello sincerely, how are you sincerely, even though he dropped his eyes because, you know, he's thinking I should be acting some kind of way toward him. But I'm not. And I'm free. And so it's just like the apostle said, you set yourself free. God sets you free. And he intends for us to be free. And that's my testimony. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you. Whew. My goodness. To God be the glory. You walked the word out.
To God
you,
be the walking.
You went to the word.
Praise
you
God.
Got your word. You utilized the word.
Praise God.
You utilized the power of choice. You used the key.
Yes, power of choice.
Power of choice. You used the key for the power of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You, and then you came back and you gave us your testimony, and somebody
mm-hmm.
else is grabbing a hold of that, and they're going to be able to walk that thing out. Oh, my God. Powerful, Minister Beverly. Powerful, powerful, powerful
bless
testimony.
God. To God be all the glory.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, because
bless
what the devil meant for harm. And
all
you
right,
know, yeah. I love the fact. When you said, I'm going to say it, what the devil meant for harm, you turned that thing around. God turned it around for
God
his glory and
for
your good. And you said God made your enemy your footstool. You were able to stand on top of that situation.
Come on,
and
now.
Make a platform
Jesus.
For God.
For God, not for me. For God. I was, yeah. It's all about him in this hour. And so we got to get that it's not about you, Beverly. It's not about your feelings. It's not. It's about your witness. That's
yeah.
what it's about.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, you ladies have really put it in a nutshell, all of you, in this last 4 minutes of the show. I believe that we really have a wrap, and it's never really a wrap because there's always some more to be said about forgiveness. But for today, I believe we have a wrap on forgiveness. And Minister Valerie Allen, she's in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, start going there because there's a party in the chat room for Jesus. And we have to forgive. Ladies, utilize your power and forgive. And I want to ask Apostle Vance and Luster in this last 3 minutes, if there's anything else that we've left out, if there's anything that God has on your heart that we can say in this area of forgiveness.
I just want to, in my closing, as I was listening to the woman of God speaking there, to forgive means to be in a place of maturity in Christ. And forgiveness, when you forgive, you respond to the spirit and not react to the flesh. Because when we react to the flesh, that says don't forgive. But when we respond to the Spirit, that says forgive. So we must
okay.
respond to the Spirit to forgive and not react to the flesh and not forgive.
Amen. Amen. And that's it. You know, I don't have anything to add to that. I just want to say thank you, Sister Tina. Thank you to Minister Valerie Carter. Thank you to Coach Lalisa Williams. Thank you to Minister Valerie Allen, to everybody on the phone lines who participated, and all of you in the to Coach Linda Hillman. Amen. Everybody in the chat room, I thank you all for coming. We're going to have an awesome guest on next week. We'll be talking about relationships. She wrote a book called The Vain Girl. We're going to be talking about breaking some curses. Amen. Some generational curses. We're going to talk about relationships and some more about forgiveness. All month long, we'll be talking about relationships and forgiveness. And prayerfully, Apostle Vincent Lester can come back sometime, maybe towards the end of the month, and we'll talk about her book some more. But just really getting into our power. We need to use our keys and step into our power. So I thank you all for being with me on today. I say God bless you to all of you. Join me next week right here on the Woman to Woman Show at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you all. Apostle, God bless you. Thank you for coming.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Tina, God bless you. Thank you for being with me.
God bless you, Pastor.
Minister Carter, thank you so much for sharing your testimony today. God bless you.
God bless you and your ministry, Pastor. Love
Amen.
Minister.
Amen. So God bless you. Look, go out of here with a smile. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next week. Join us tomorrow at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, 11 o'clock. And we worship God, and we do go forth in the word. So go out of here with a smile. Check out Lalisa Williams on Facebook. Check out Apostle Vancette Luster at her website and on Facebook. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord and keep on smiling.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
With you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
Even though I'm in it for a while,
still
I smile.
want you to be happy, but then you gotta have something happy then. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.